I need your help with something. While you're listening to today's episode, please leave a review of our show on iTunes or Stitcher and make sure you subscribe to the show on your favorite platform. Both of those, the reviews and the subscriptions, push our show up in the rankings so more people can find out about it. That helps me so I can help you. Let's get into the show.
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
The Work On Your Game podcast is sponsored by Audible. With so many things to do these days, we don't always have time to sit down and read. So what if you could listen to books while you were driving, jogging, working out, making dinner, or brushing your teeth? You can now. And not only can you get one of my audiobooks completely for free, you also get a 30-day trial where you can listen to as many audiobooks as you wish for 30 consecutive days. Go to DreAllDay.com/audible and start your 30-day trial. Get your free book right now. That's DreAllDay.com/audible. Welcome to the best show in the history of audio recording availability. This is the show that teaches you the discipline of showing up day after day to do the work, the confidence of putting yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness of continuing to show up, putting yourself out there, even when you haven't yet reached your goal, haven't yet gotten the success that you want. And on top of all three of those traits, we're going to throw a whole bunch of personal initiative, because you got to go and make these things happen. You can't just wait for them to happen. This show is called Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. And today's topic is how to double down on what works. Doubling down on what works. The challenge, one of the biggest challenges we have in life nowadays, and I think these challenges will continue to grow bigger and bigger and more acute as time goes on, because we're learning more things, we're giving ourselves new options, new technologies, new possibilities, new information, more information, is that there's always so many different things we could be doing, so many different directions we could be going. You could focus on, I want to build my Twitter, or no, I'm going to do Instagram, no, I'm going to do YouTube, no, I'm going to do my blog, no, I want to write books, no, I want to be a coach, no, I want to be a speaker, no, I want to teach classes, no, I want to have mastermind groups. There's so many different things we could be doing, yet we only have one body. We can only be in one physical place at a time, at least as of the recording of this episode. And there's only so many things a human being actually, is not so many, is one thing can focus on at a time. There's only one thing a human being can focus on at once. There's only one thing that we can put all of our energy and attention into to make it good. But the challenge is we got so many different things we could do, so many different things that could work out, so many different directions in which we could be successful. Listen, I don't think everybody is destined to do just one thing. Some people can be good at multiple things. I may be talking to you. You may have 3, 4, 5, 10 things you could be great at, but you can't do all 10 at the exact same time. How do you double down on what works? That's what we're going to talk about today, because sometimes we may be trying another thing with that. We may be trying 3, 4, 10 different hustles at the same time. We don't know which one's going to work out. Maybe 3 of that 10 work out. How do we identify and eliminate the 7 that aren't really doing the thing? And we talked about this on the 80-20 rule. We talked about the 80-20 principle in a previous episode here. And we also talked about eliminating the things that are not most important, focusing on what is really working, eliminating the things that are not really working, how to identify what is most important for us, how to identify where our power zones are. And those are all, you can look through the archives of the Work On Your Game podcast, and that's at DreAllDay.com/podcast. But today, I'm going to tell you what actually inspired me talking about this in today's episode. I was listening to a guy named Tucker Max. He was being interviewed. Those of you not familiar with Tucker, he basically invented the quote unquote fratire genre of books. Fratire is, how do I explain it? The stuff that you would do that's funny, but it also involves, usually is written by guys. It involves sex, partying, alcohol, and just general shenanigans that are, and when it's written, it sounds very funny, even though you weren't there to experience it. Tucker Max wrote a book called I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. Then he wrote another one called Sloppy Seconds. He wrote another one called Assholes Finish First. And I think there was one more, and the title of that book is escaping me, but you can just Google Tucker Max. He now runs a company called Book in a Box, where him and his staff actually write a book for you. Someone who's an expert in some area, you pay them, they write a book for you, they do all the publishing, meaning getting the cover design, getting it published up on Amazon and iBooks and Google Books and everywhere else. And he has a company that does that now. That's what he's moved into. He doesn't still write the fratire books. Obviously, you can't do that forever. And anyway, I was listening to Tucker on his interview, and one thing that he said is one of his biggest mistakes is that instead of focusing on writing more books during the time that his books were getting super popular, he was selling millions of copies of books. Not many people get rich off writing a book, at least not from the sales of the book. Usually what it comes from is the spinoff from the book. Maybe you get more speaking engagements or more consulting situations or more of other things just because the book builds credibility, which is really what a book does. But Tucker Max is one of the few authors who actually made a whole lot of money just off the sales of the books because his books became so popular. And he said during a period when his books were just hot and he's just selling all these books and all these people are knowing him for the books, he made a crucial mistake in business. A mistake that cost him a whole lot of money and cost him a lot of time is that he decided he wanted to make a movie based on his first book, which is called I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. And he did make that movie, and I did see that movie, and that movie bombed. The movie just wasn't that good. I went to see the movie, and the movie was nowhere near as good as the book. Isn't that usually what happens? How many of you have read a book and also seen the movie that was based on that same book, and the movie was better than the book? Most of the time, in my experience, the movie is never better than the book. The book is way more detailed. The book is more graphic and letting you decide in your own mind what things look like and imagining how things feel, whereas the movie kind of gives it all to you. And a 2.5 hour movie cannot encapsulate a 300, 500, 200 page book. It just can't do it. Most of the time, I would think, and you can tell me if it's happened more often for you than it has been for me, that you read a book and the movie's not as good. Now, if you've ever seen a movie that was better than the book and you go see many movies, I guarantee, actually, I can't guarantee. Let me ask a question. That's a better way of putting it. Let me ask a question. Have you seen more movies that were better than the book or read more books that were better than the movie? That I pose that question to someone who's done this at least 3 times, because I know everybody doesn't read as often as they watch. But if you do read and you've seen some books turn movies, let me know if my theory is incorrect. My theory is usually the movie's not better than the book. But anyway, Tucker Max said the mistake he made was he didn't double down on writing books, which was the thing that was really getting him popular and making him hot and making him rich. When he could have done that, he instead tried to do the movie because his ego was inflated. He let his ego get in the way. Hey, let me go be a movie director now. I'm already a well-known author. I keep writing books. I can come back to that whenever I feel like it. And he said that cost him millions of dollars. Because number one, the time and effort and energy and resources that went into making the movie, which did not make him his money back. And also, and he did the movie independently. And the other thing was the money that he could have made had he continued to do the book thing, which was the number one vertical for him at that time. So today we're going to talk about, since I heard that, that led me talking about this podcast episode. So let's get right into how you can double down on what works and make sure you don't make that same mistake that Tucker Max made and not focusing on what's really producing the result. Number one. You don't always have to do something new, people. You do not always have to reinvent the wheel. You do not have to pull a magic trick out of your hat every single time you do something. If something's working and if people think it's boring because you're doing the same thing and it's still working, listen, let it be boring. Sometimes in life, you got to go through the boring. And one of my top 5 all time books, Robert Greene and 50 Cent, is called The 50th Law. They have a chapter. I believe it's chapter 8. The title is Mastery. You must deal with the mundane. You must master the mundane. Learn to deal with boredom, because there's going to come times things are going to be boring. The discipline of showing up every single day is not always exciting. It's not always Instagram worthy, because there's only so many times you can Instagram yourself doing the exact damn same thing over and over and over again. But that work is required if you're going to master a skill and if you're going to become one of the best at it, or maybe the best, or maybe the only, which is even better than that. You got to master the mundane of it. You got to master the mundane. The more work you put in is boring, the more space you're putting between you and anyone else who may try to come in and take your spot, because most people can't deal with the boredom. So if you can do 100 days worth of boredom and the average person can only deal with 30 days worth of boredom, every day you add on to that 100 that you deal with the boredom, you're putting more and more space between you and any possible competition, because most people can't last through the discipline of doing the boring stuff. So what I'm telling you is that you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. A lot of you know that I really built my name. I initially came to be known on the internet through YouTube videos that were basketball based, me on the court working on my game in basketball. And there were sometimes I would post videos of myself playing against somebody in basketball, whether it was a 5-on-5, a lot of them were 1-on-1 that was really interesting. People like watching those. And there was once I was playing against someone, and basically I had a certain advantage against this player. I was quicker than him, so he had to give me a whole lot of space so that I couldn't get by him and just get to the basket for easy layups and dunks. So he gave me a lot of space. Therefore, because he was giving me the space, all I did was I kept shooting a pull-up jump shot. And if you don't watch basketball, you don't really need to understand what this is. But basically, I kept doing the same move over and over and over again, and it was working. I kept doing the same move in the game. It kept working. And I ended up beating this guy using the same move over a course of multiple games. We played like a series of games in one day. I posted them on YouTube. And some people will leave comments. Usually these are younger players who don't really understand what I'm explaining here. They didn't understand it that well, which is why they made the comments that they made. They would say things like, Dre, well, your game is very predictable. You do the same thing over and over again. All you're doing is shooting this pull-up jump shot. Why don't you do all those moves that you're always doing when you're working on your game by yourself? What happened to all the moves and the crossovers? Why don't you do all of those? Why you keep doing the same thing over and over again? What they failed to understand, and this can apply to basketball, it can also apply to life, is that just because you're doing the same thing over and over again doesn't mean there's something wrong. That's not a mistake. Doing the same thing over and over again is not a mistake, people. And you can think of many different examples. If you go to a car manufacturing plant or warehouse, you're going to see the same activities happening over and over and over and over again. If you were to go into the gym with, let's say, Steph Curry or Kyrie Irving or Kobe Bryant back then, or LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, anyone you want to name who was great at their sport, in any sport, you're going to see that person who was really good doing the same damn thing over and over and over and over again. What do you know Steph Curry is good at? He's good at dribbling, right? How many times do you think he does the exact same dribbling drills? I guarantee you he does it so often you would get bored just watching him. How many times do you think Michael Jordan shot that one dribble pull-up, or Kobe Bryant worked on that fadeaway, or you name somebody or whatever it is they're good at? In any sport, in any game, and you can take it out of sports and go into somebody doing something else. How many times do you think Stephen King, the author, sat down and just wrote and wrote and wrote? And if you had a camera on him, it wouldn't be anything interesting about it. But what resulted from him doing that work, the same thing over and over and over again, is what made him a master of what he does and what makes him so good, and which is why he can sell his writing for money. Understand that just because you're doing the same thing over and over again, that's not a mistake, people. That's how you become great. You become great at shooting a jump shot by shooting the same shot over and over and over again. Not because you shot one time, then next time you got to do a completely different move, then next time you got to do something completely different. That's not how the game works. And this is any game here. I'm just using basketball as an example here, people. I hope everybody understands that. But that's not how the game works. The game does not work in a way that you have to pull a rabbit out of your hat every single time. If you're playing somebody one-on-one in basketball, and I'll give you an example. When I was growing up, my man Tim, we grew up next door to each other. One of my best friends to this very day, he's a lot smaller than me. Tim's about, to this day, now that we're adults, this is when we were maybe 16, 17 years old, this happened. We would go down to Finley Playground in Mount Airy, where I'm from. We would play these games a one-on-one full court in the summertime. And Tim would often beat me, and I'm going to tell you why. Well, first of all, to this day, now that we're fully grown, I'm 6 feet, 4 inches tall. Tim is about 5'7". Maybe, 5'7" on a good day with shoes on. And we would play these full-court one-on-one games, and Tim would beat me in many of these games. And I'm going to tell you why. He had two advantages. Number one, he was a much better ball handler than I was back then. Number two, he was a much better outside shooter than I was. And he was a little bit quicker than me. It was hard for me to stay in front of him. I would give him a lot of space, and sometimes he would just beat me up and down the court, maybe even catch me from behind if I got past him. My shaky ball handling, he was able to come up from behind and steal the ball from me. So what would happen when we would play these full-court one-on-one games is I would try to use this time as a way to work on my skills. So I would try to do the same ball handling moves Tim would do against me. I would try to do them against him, but his would work on me because he was quicker than me and he was a better dribbler. Mine would not work on him because I wasn't as quick as him and my ball handling skills weren't that good. So when I would try to do the crossovers, he would steal the ball from me. And then he was a good shooter. So he would shoot jump shots on me and he would make them. I would shoot jump shots and I would miss them. So he would be getting points and I'd be turning over possessions because I'd be shooting the ball and the ball wasn't going in the basket. And he would beat me in these games routinely because I was trying to do the things to get better that he was already good at. But then this is what would happen. I told you he's my friend. So he's not some random guy that I met at the court. We would spend time hanging out off the court. We worked together at a couple different jobs, man. We worked together at Rita's Water Ice. We worked together at McDonald's. We worked together at General Cinema movie theaters. And we lived next door to each other. So we would hang out all the time. And we would get to, when we were around other people, our other friends who didn't play ball as much as us, we would get to talking about these games, obviously. And obviously, somebody would get to talking some shit. Like, hey, yeah, Dre, what about that last one-on-one game we played? And he kind of had one up on me. Because if he won the game, there's really not much I could say. I can make excuses. Or I could say, well, you only won by this much. But a loss is a loss and a win is a win, people. We know that, right? So eventually, as this talk continues to go on, I realized something. I said to myself, you know what? If I'm playing Tim, why don't I just, if I really care about winning, because again, I told y'all, I would use these games as a kind of a way to make myself get better. But if trash talk's going to be involved and there's going to be all this shit talking about who won and who didn't win, okay, now I got to throw out the window the whole part about using this as a time to get better. I had to throw that out the window. basically I said to myself, okay, instead of doing the things that I'm not good at, like dribbling and shooting and trying to match him at his skills, why don't I just do the things that I'm good at, which I know he can't do anything about, which is the fact that I'm a whole lot bigger than him. I'm taller than him. I can score over top of him. Why don't I just put my back to the basket, back him down till I'm in the painted area, very close to the hoop, and then just score over top of him? Because even if I miss, I could just grab the rebound and make the layup. I could just do that all game. He could never stop me. I'm going to score every single time I get the ball. Now, he's not going to make a jump shot every single time. And I'm going to slow down the pace of the game because I'm scoring every time, backing him down, make him use his energy to try to stop me. That's going to work on his legs. And then eventually I'm going to win this game. Just by the law of averages, if I'm making 100% of my shots, even if he shoots 60%, I'm still going to end up winning the game. Does that make sense to y'all? So I decided to double down on what works. And what worked was me doing the exact same thing every single time. Once I saw he started to play defense, I would turn my back to him. I would just back him down. He couldn't stop me from backing him down. Then I would just make an easy layup, and I just kept scoring on him over and over again. This worked, and this did several things, people. This is what you got to understand, as I just explained. This slowed down the pace of the game because there were no fast breaks because I was making every shot. Usually, fast breaks come off of missed shots and turnovers. I wasn't turning the ball over because he didn't have a chance to steal it because I had my body between him and the ball, and I wasn't missing any shots because I was just shooting layups. And on top of that, this did a couple other things. Number one, it worked on his body. He had to use his strength and his legs to try to stop me to no avail. And number two, it worked on him psychologically. Because now he doesn't have the positive energy knowing that he stopped me or knowing that I'm missing shots and that he could take advantage of it. He realized very early in that game, and this is a game we said, well, this is going to be the definitive game between me and you. Whoever wins this game is going to be the one who laughs last. So psychologically, it worked on him because he realized very early in that game that it was nothing he could do to stop me. That I was going to score every single time. And the only way he could match me was by shooting 100% in the things he was doing. And even the best player in the world is not going to make 100% of their shots. Well, at least from the outside. As a layup, many players can. So there was a point in the game where I kept backing him down, backing him down. He realized that's all I was going to do. And he said, while he's playing defense, he said, yeah, Dre, just back me down like you always do. And I understood what he was really doing. He was trying to get in my head to get me to think, okay, yeah, you're doing the same thing over and over again. That's all you can do. Want to do something different. He was kind of like mind fucking me. He was trying to mind fuck me. He failed. He failed to mind fuck me. And I kept doing the same thing over and over again, and I beat him so bad that we didn't even finish that game. And Tim, if you're listening to this episode, you know that's what happened. We didn't finish the game. He quit, and he walked off the court and went home, and that was the definitive game. I don't think we played one-on-one since. Now, why am I telling you this story? And actually, let me tell you another story that's just like that. I was playing some kid. I don't even know this kid's name. This had to be about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I had not been in the gym on the court to work on my game for about 3 weeks. This happened down in Miami. I hadn't been on the court, not 3 weeks, for an entire week. I hadn't worked on my game, but then I came into the gym. I've been doing some other things. I finally got into the gym. I'm working on my game, and some guy comes over to the side of the court, and he says, hey, Dre All Day, right? Dre Baldwin. So he knew me off of YouTube, younger guy. He was probably 18, 19 years old. I think he was a college student. I forget what school he went to. But anyway, he came over, said what's up, and then he said, hey, let me get a one-on-one. Let me play you in the game of one-on-one. I'm like, all right, you want to play me one-on-one? Usually, if somebody comes and challenges me to a one-on-one, and that time when I'm on the court every day, I'll take it and I'll kick their ass. But I remind you, I hadn't been on the court in a week. So my shot was kind of shaky. My handle wasn't as sharp as I wanted it to be, but he asked me to play one-on-one. He didn't know any of this. And he didn't know I hadn't been in the gym for a week. All he knew was, this is the dude I'll be seeing on the internet. Let me challenge myself against this guy. And he had caught me at the exact perfect time to beat me. So we started playing one-on-one. Now, you know, if he had beat me, I wouldn't be telling you this story, right? So we started playing one-on-one. And I realized that my handle and my shot weren't going to win me this game because I was getting the open shots that I wanted, but the shots just weren't going in the basket. And he's trying his little moves and he's having a little bit of success, but not a lot. But this game is kind of like back and forth. Neither one of us had a clear advantage until I got to the point where I said, you know what? Forget this. Let me stop trying to work on my jump. I'm going to stop trying to use this kid to work on my jump shot because most importantly, if I lose this game, then this guy off the internet who I could tell that he kind of looked up to me from watching me on the internet. If he beats me, then all of that goes away. So I got to beat this kid one way or another. So I said, forget all this jump shot stuff. I just started backing this guy down and using my post game to score on him. And then when it got to the point I had done this about 7 times in a row, he said, is that all you're going to do? You're just going to keep backing me down? And I said to him over my shoulder, listen, kid, if you can't stop it, then that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. That's the point. And he knew that I was right in saying that, but he was trying to do the same thing Tim tried to do. He was trying to mind fuck me out of doing the same thing, trying to make it sound like I was doing something wrong by doing the same thing over and over again. And at the end, I won that game. I don't know who that kid was, but if he's listening, you could write me in and let me know. And we can confirm that because if you know me, you know that game is on film. So if I need to put that out there, I will. But anyway, I'm telling y'all all this to tell you this. If it's boring, let it be boring. If you're doing the same thing over and over again and it's working, then that's exactly why you should be doing the same thing over and over again. The only time you need to keep changing up what you're doing is if you're not getting the result that you want. If the actions are getting you the result that you want, then keep doing them over and over again, because you got to ask yourself a question. What is the object of these actions? Is the object for you to say you're doing something different? Is the point for you to say, hey, look at all the variety I have? Or is the point for you to get the result? Because those could be two different things. I'm going to say that one more time. Is the point for you to say, oh, I did 10 different moves, or I did this crossover, then I did that crossover, then that crossover, and look at all the moves I did? Or is the point for you to score points? Because in basketball, the objective is to score points, right? The object of the game is to put the ball in the basket. That's why the game is called basketball. It's not called crossover ball. It's not called do different moves ball. It's not called pull magic tricks out ball. It's not called give the audience some variety and something exciting ball. It's called basketball. Put the ball in the basket. If any of you watch a boxer by the name of Roy Jones Jr. or another guy by the name of Floyd Mayweather Jr., both of those guys had people who were detractors who would say, well, watching these guys box is boring because they don't go for the knockout often enough. They don't just go and go punch for punch with a person. They don't just stand in front of their opponent and just try to outslug that guy. They kind of like outpoint him. They use their defense. They move around a lot. They're hard to hit. And in the end, the fight goes the distance, but there's never any really exciting exchanges where both boxers are just pounding on each other to see who can take the most punches or give the most punches. And people will use that to kind of discredit. I remember Oscar De La Hoya, a boxer who Floyd Mayweather beat maybe 10 plus years ago. He writes a letter, an open letter, basically disparaging Floyd because his boxing style is not exciting. Like, I'm reading a letter like, Oscar, you lost to this guy. This guy beat you, clearly beat you, kicked your ass in the ring in front of the whole world, and now you're trying to disparage his style just because you don't think it's exciting enough. Well, listen, and there are many people who agree with him, as a matter of fact. But the thing is, what's the object of the fight? Is the object of the fight to give the fans a show, or is the object to win? Now, of course, if you're a performer and you're charging money for what you do, yes, you want to give your audience a show. But what's more important, giving them a show or winning? And sometimes you're going to have to pick between the two. I told y'all several episodes back, and again, you can see that archive at dreallday.com/podcast. Someone once asked me, Dre, if you wanted to get all the money or you wanted to get all the fame, which one is it? Which one is more important to you? You might have to choose between the two. Yeah, I know you want both. I know you want the money and the fame, but if you had to pick between the two, you could either be really famous and not have the money, or you could have all the money and not be known at all. Which one is more important to you? Because the answer to that question should determine the way you're going to run your business. And that's a really poignant question, and many of us should ask ourselves, and we could swap out the money and the fame for, again, the entertainment or the victory. Which one is most important to you? Whatever is working, do that. If the fans boo and they say it's not exciting enough, you're not giving us enough of a show, listen, they can say whatever they want to say. But guess what? If you lose, they're going to have a whole lot more to say than that. So again, ask yourself what is more important. So that's point number one. Today's topic, for those who are coming in late, is doubling down on what works. Point number two. Once you are clear on how you produce a desired result, once it gets clear on, okay, if I do this, then this, then this, I get this result. And that's the result that you want. Keep doing it. Keep doing that exact same thing. If I do this, Tucker Max, if I write this book and I write it in this style and I write about these things that have happened to me, the result is I'm going to sell 1 million books. I'm going to make all this money and more people are going to know my name and more opportunities are going to come to me. That's what produced the desired result. He didn't keep doing it. He made the mistake of going in another direction. He got distracted by the other opportunities. He got distracted by the fact that, you know what, Tucker, you can make a movie now. You know what, Tucker? You can be a producer now. You can be a director. You can really, really be a big shot, not just an author, but you could be a movie producer on top of being an author. How about that? He got distracted by the shiny object syndrome, which took him off of the path of what really worked. You want to make sure you do not make this mistake. Stay focused on, once you know what gets the result, just keep doing it over and over again. Don't have to excite anybody. It don't have to be a show. It don't have to be YouTube or Instagram worthy. It could just be what works. Again, what's more important to you? Getting people to say, wow, you put on a great show, or having people say, you know what? You keep producing results. Know why? I'm not saying that when you have all these other opportunities, I'm not saying don't take any of them, that you only got to do one thing in life. And I said that at the top of this show. I'm not saying don't take those opportunities. You just need to know how and why something new builds on a foundation of what is already working. Say that one more time. If you're going to take an opportunity, let's say you're doing something that's really working right now and opportunities are coming to you because of that thing that's working. If you're going to take one of those opportunities, before you do so, you should clearly define for yourself not only how, but also why this new opportunity builds on the foundation of what you already have. Because if it doesn't, and is a complete 180 degrees from where you are already getting a result, you need to justify that. Because if you're going to put time, effort, and energy into this other thing that is not building on your current foundation, it's kind of like if you're building a 100-story high-rise building, you've already laid the foundation floor, and then someone asks you, hey, you want to build a restaurant? You want to open a restaurant? Now, is that restaurant going to be part of your 100-story high-rise, or is it going to be a completely different building that you got to build somewhere else on the other side of town or even across the street? Because even if you're building it across the street, now you got to lay a whole new foundation. But what if you could add it on to the building that you're already building? What if you can just add it to the plans, go to the architect or the developer and have them add it to the plans of the foundation you've already laid? Those are two different things. Because if you got to build a whole new foundation, now you're taking time away from the 100-story building that you already started working on. That's going to push back the completion date. You might have some investors who are not too happy about that. Everybody understand it. This is all a figure of speech. This is all metaphorical. Hopefully everybody's catching what I'm saying here. Rewind it if you didn't catch it. Know how and why anything you add to or any opportunities you take on that are based off of the success you've had in the thing that's working, know how and why those are going to make you better and not take away from what's working. Because the thing that's working is what allows the opportunities. Always remember that. Always remember that the thing that is working is what allows the opportunities, not the opportunities that allow you to do the thing that's working. Make sure you keep that equation in mind at all times when you're considering expanding or doing brand extension or extension of anything that is working already. Point number three. Today's topic is doubling down on what works on the Work On Your Game podcast. Point number three. Sometimes the same old boring thing, doing that same thing over and over again, sometimes that's exactly what you need. Getting to where you want to go in life, in business, in your sport, in anything that you're doing, getting where you want to go is not going to be some brand new exciting thing every single day. It's not always going to be something that's fresh and new every single day. There is a grind that comes with it. There's a grind with getting to where you want to go. There's a grind that comes to doing what you want to do and getting the result that you want to get. And that grind includes doing something that you've already done, that you already know how it goes. It's not brand new. It's not fresh. It's not exciting to you anymore, but you still got to do it. That's part of the game. Without that consistency of effort, people, how could your employer or your customer or your coach or your family, how could they trust you? If people don't know what kind of effort you're going to give, what kind of person you're going to be, what result you're going to produce, if they can't start to depend on the consistency of what you're going to do, how could they even trust you? Could you trust a boss who you don't know what they're going to be like each day? You don't know if they're going to be angry, sad. You don't know if they're going to be unresponsive. You don't know if they're going to be, they're like a Jekyll and Hyde. You have no idea what you're going to get from that person. Can you trust them? Can a customer trust a company that they don't know what kind of quality their product's going to be from time to time? If I go buy some apples from the grocery store and I eat them and they taste great, then I go buy the same apples again the next week from the grocery store and they taste completely different, I'm probably not going to buy apples from that grocery store ever again. Why? Because I can't predict what I'm going to get. There's no consistency. I can't trust them. Can a coach trust a player who he doesn't know what he's going to get from that player? I talked about this a couple episodes back. I'd rather have the player who I know is going to give me 15 points a game than the player who's going to give me 30 one game and zero the next game. The player who's going to work hard in practice one day and then just loaf off and go through the motions the next day. I'd rather have a person who may not be as talented. They don't have as high of a ceiling, but I know what I'm getting from that person. I'd rather have a person I can depend on because then I can plan around. I can plan around what I know is consistent. I can't plan around unpredictable things. They want to know what to expect. Your customers, your family, your employers, your bosses, your coaches, they want to know what to expect from you. We value things that we can count on. Can you be counted on? Can your effort be counted on? Are you doubling down on the thing that you know is working to get to the point that you know you can count on, that you can predict what's going to happen for you over the next month, over the next year, over the next 10 years? Can you predict where you're going to be based on you doubling down on what's working? What's working for you right now? And what can you do to put more time, effort, energy into it, more resources into it so you can get even more results from it? Is that possible? You might not know because you may never have asked yourself that question. But now that I'm giving it to you, now you're responsible for it. Let's recap today's topic, which is doubling down on what works. Number one, you do not always have to do something new. It doesn't matter what the crowd wants. What matters is what results do you want? The results are more important than pleasing the crowd. Keep that in mind always, please. Number two, once you are clear on how to produce a desired result, just keep doing it. That sounds so simple, right? But how many people do it? Once you are clear on how to produce a desired result, just keep doing that. Do not get distracted by the other things that come with it, the trappings of your success. If you want to indulge in those, make sure there's a clear understanding of how it builds on your foundation and not that it's a brand new foundation you have to build unless you have the resources to do that. one person can't focus on two things at the same time, people. Do you have some other people that can do that while you focus on the thing that's working? Ask yourself that. Number three, sometimes the same old boring thing is exactly what you need. Getting to where you want to go does not mean you got to keep reinventing the wheel every day. Getting to where you want to go might mean you might have to just keep driving on that straight, long highway, single lane with no cars in front of you, no cars behind you. You just got to keep driving until you get there. Okay, it's not going to be a scenic route. Okay, all you see is grass and trees on the side. You don't even see deer in the grass over there. All you're going to see is this open road. Can you stay focused for long enough to keep going on that straight road to get to where you want to go? Yes or no? It's a simple yes or no question. Ladies and gentlemen, The Mirror of Motivation is my book called The Self-Guide to Self-Discipline. The subtitle, The Self-Guide to Self-Discipline. It is called The Mirror of Motivation. It is part of the Bulletproof Bundle. You can get that at DreAllDay.com/BB for Bulletproof Bundle. If you don't have it, go get it. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. The Work on Your Game podcast is sponsored by Audible. With so many things to do these days, we don't always have time to sit down and read. So what if you could listen to books while you were driving, jogging, working out, making dinner, or brushing your teeth? You can now. And not only can you get one of my audiobooks completely for free, you also get a 30-day trial where you can listen to as many audiobooks as you wish for 30 consecutive days. Go to DreAllDay.com/audible and start your 30-day trial. Get your free book right now. That's DreAllDay.com/audible. I told you I was going to give you tons of value every single day, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work on Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work on your game.